the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host, and I've got government mail here. Do you get, when you get mail and you see that it's from the government, you know, people like to get mail. Does it make you happy? Say, yay, I got mail from the government. I wonder what they want to tell me. I'm going to open my government mail here in one moment. I'm going to open it on the air. I hope it's not exceedingly embarrassing, but we'll find out. And then also, we have a list of stories from my home state of New Jersey. Now, these stories, you know, you like to think about where you grew up and how proud you are of your hometown, and somehow these stories take that all away. I can't quite do it. So we'll get to the New Jersey stories, but first I'm going to open my government mail. Here it is right here. Let's see. It's from the county. My wife said, it says State of Colorado on it. My wife said, honey, you have government mail. So I've got it here, and it says, all right, let's see. Here we go. It's a jury summons. Important jury summons to Robert Enyart. Oh, I've been called for jury duty. This is going to be a blast. Wow. Let me see. Legal rights and responsibilities, juror qualifications, juror fees. They're going to make me pay to be a jury? Juror fee. Oh, no, you get paid $50 a day. All right, I don't have to pay. And there's a questionnaire, and please fill out mail back. Let's see. There's a bunch of questions in here. Have you ever been involved in a court proceeding? Yes or no?
Yes.
If yes, please answer the following. Involved now? Yes. In the past? Yes. Civil? Yes. Criminal? Yes. Party to a case? Yes. Witness in a case? Yes. Yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. Yes, okay. This is going to be fun. When is this? Wednesday, August 8th, 2001. Well, I'm going to do everything I can to get on that jury. I don't care what question they ask me. I'm going to tell them exactly what they want to hear. Well, you can't lie, because then they'll get you with a misdemeanor, violation of Colorado Revised Statutes, Section 18, Paragraph 1, Subsection 103, and then they'll charge you with something. So you can't lie, but you could answer the way Bill Clinton would answer. Right? You can't outright lie, but the truth has a wide breadth of possibilities. So anyway, this is going to be interesting. I wonder what the case will be. You know, they don't even know yet. They just get a bunch of jurors, a jury pool together, and they ask you a bunch of stupid questions. I remember my friend Greg Perry in Tulsa was call for jury duty, and they asked him questions, and they said, would you view the defendant and a police officer equally in their testimony? And he said, no, of course not. Of course I wouldn't. If the defendant, let's say the defendant is charged with selling drugs, I want to know, does he have a rap sheet as long as his arm? And if he does, then I'm going to assume everything he says is a lie, unless proven otherwise. So, of course, I wouldn't give the defendant the same credibility as a cop. And the defense attorney, that's what Greg Perry was telling him in court when he was on the jury pool. And the defense attorney was beside himself. I wonder what kind of questions they'll ask me. I think I'll ask the judge, just so I understand what kind of answers you want here, did you think that Bill Clinton's answers were acceptable, the ones he gave when he was under oath in his depositions? Because if you think his answers were okay, we can really have a good time here today. So we'll have to see. All right, now before we get to the New Jersey stories, just a couple stories out of the Animals Are Kind to Dumb People folder. All right, our file, Animals Are Kind to Dumb People. We've just added two new stories. This here out of South Dakota, Custer State Park, South Dakota. A man was gored to death by a bison bull while photographing a free-roaming herd. Now, I thought animals are kind to dumb people. Animals eat dumb people. Animals kill dumb people. Animals gore dumb people. All right? And some people are, you know, soon, by the end of the month, we hope, we'll be taking calls on the show. But some people are trying to call in right now, and it's not going to work because we don't have our Gentner hooked up yet. The Gentner came with some technical hurdles, which we are resolving. It'll take us a couple more weeks. All right, so in a couple weeks, you can call 1-800-8-NYART and get on the show 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 9 to 10 Eastern Time on Mondays. But, and you could instant mail us. You can IM us at kgovlive@aol.com. That would work. That would work. So send an instant message to kgovlive@aol.com, and we will get that. And you could send an email, too, by the way. And we might be able to tell that that email just came in during the show, right? Yeah, look at that right now. Okay, if we get any new emails during the show, I'll try to take a look at them. Okay. Now, so that was this guy. He's 76 years old. He was with a group of visitors at the state park, and a large bull, a bison, approached, and all of the visitors went back to their cars, except this guy. He just kept taking a picture, and the bison's coming closer and closer, and he just stayed there. Everybody else went back to the car. See, animals kill dumb people. So the bison walks past him, he nudges him, and then he turned around and gored him in the side and threw him. That's gross. But animals are not kind to dumb people. This guy, class, he qualifies as a dumb person. Animals are not kind to dumb people. Oh, by the way, that just happened this weekend. On Thursday, sorry. 2 days earlier, a Texas man suffered a deep cut to his arm in a buffalo attack at the same park. A different area in the same park. A buffalo, a bison. Animals are kind to dumb people? No. Animals eat dumb people. How about this? In Pensacola, Florida, this weekend, Saturday, an 8-year-old boy, the poor kid. Now, an 8-year-old kid, you can't blame an 8-year-old kid for swimming. But an 8-year-old boy was in critical condition Saturday after a team of surgeons worked through the night to reattach his arm, which was bitten off by a 7-foot bull shark. Gross. That's terrible. Now, you have to ask the question, where did they get the arm from? If a shark reattached, a shark bites off a kid's arm, how do they get the arm back? Well, the answer is, the boy was swimming at Gulf Islands National Seashore near Fort Pickens in the Florida Panhandle. So, for public school teachers listening, that's the northern part of Florida. The northern part, the Gulf Coast. The boy's uncle saw what had happened, and he attacked the shark. The uncle wrestled the shark to shore, where emergency medical personnel retrieved the arm from the shark. Now, this uncle may be getting animal, you know, some kind of charge against him for animal cruelty. Maybe PETA will protest at his home. Maybe they'll picket his home for depriving a shark of a meal. But at any rate, that's in the animals eat dumb people file. Now, to New Jersey. Okay. We've got all these New Jersey stories. I don't know how this happened. Why is New Jersey so much in the news? But they are. So I'll just go through these one after another. This is at Rutgers. You know Rutgers College in New Jersey in New Brunswick? Well, basketball players there a judge has ruled that they could sue their coach who forced them to do naked wind sprints. Is that weird or what? Weird things happen in New Jersey. Weird things. So the coach, now originally they tried to sue the school also, and the coach and the assistant coach and the athletic director. An appeals court said they couldn't do that. So they appealed it even higher. Or a court said they couldn't sue, so they appealed it. And the New Jersey appellate court said you could sue, but not the school. You could only sue the coaches. However, Rutgers, they never disciplined the coach. They didn't say to the coach, you shouldn't do that, coach, and we're going to discipline you. Why didn't they discipline him? The coach said, well, it was participation was voluntary. They didn't have to do it. We didn't hold a gun to their head. So anyway, I would think suing Rutgers would be a great idea. And that should be allowed, of course, if the school finds out that one of their staff members does something criminal and they don't discipline that person, then the school shares in the responsibility. All right, next story. This out of Mount Holly, New Jersey. This involves another coach, basketball coach, another basketball coach, only this is in a high school, not a college. A former New Jersey high school basketball coach has admitted using drugs with a player and three other students. Now, when I first read the story, the first thing that stuck out to me, I said, what do you mean a former high school coach? The coaches are all teachers. Not all, but almost all coaches are teachers. So why doesn't it say a public school teacher was taking drugs with some students? Because the headline is ex-coach admits using drugs with kids. Should be ex-teacher admits using drugs with students. That's what it should be, but it's a coach. Because liberals don't like sports anyway because they're too competitive. So buried later on in the story. So that's what the first thing that struck me when I read this. And buried later on, it says that the teacher, Adrian Matthew, 29 years old, he's just a punk, right? He's a punk kid. He's been fired, and county officials have said they will seek permanent revocation of his teaching license. And I thought, why wasn't that in the headline? Teacher uses drugs. Well, I guess that's sort of like dog bites man. It's not really news. Okay. All right. I see their point. So he pleaded guilty to possession of ecstasy pills, distribution of marijuana, child endangerment, and two counts of child abuse. Nah, he'll be home before Labor Day. What am I saying? He won't even go to jail. Now, if he spanked somebody, he'd be going to Sing Sing. But all he did was use drugs and all with them. He'll probably get community service. He'll probably do his community service at the high school during the basketball games, cleaning up. The students, by the way, what happened to them? Three girls and a boy. They were required to attend drug counseling sessions. That'll straighten them out. You know, I was in Jefferson County Jail with a drug counselor, and he wasn't working at the jail. He was an inmate because he was caught selling dope. And in my experience from all 6 months in jail with all the druggies I know, that's pretty much a very common story. The drug counselors, half of them at least, were drug addicts themselves, and they're sober for a while, and now they're counseling. And when they get bored, or maybe after an especially boring meeting, they go out and get high with some of their clients. We know that the homosexual ministries, they do that. Right? The homosexual ministries, they have their clients come in, and then afterward they go out and they go to a homo bar. And they say, well, as long as we don't kiss, it's okay. The sick things. I've heard that from Christian homos involved with major homo ministries. Okay, now, we're still in New Jersey. Now we're at the state capitol. When you move to the state capitol, it gets sicker, right? You go from a high school where their teachers using drugs with the kids to a college where the coach is making them do wind sprints naked to get to the state capitol, Trenton. And in Trenton, a New Jersey appeals court said that transsexuals are covered by laws against discrimination, along with others with gender issues. So if you have a gender issue, you're covered by laws against discrimination. Now, advocates, homo advocates, they've praised this ruling. Now, why would they? They probably think, yeah, now we could all dress like fruits and nuts. And they can't do anything to us. Because this case was a doctor who was fired after he started dressing as a woman. This is an Associated Press story, and that's what it says. A doctor was fired after he started dressing as a woman. So the homos are saying this is a sweeping decision because it extends discrimination laws to those struggling with gender identification. Okay. Now, so they quote the judge in the article, Stephen L. LaFelt. Stephen L. LaFelt. He must be a Frenchman, right? Stephen L. LaFelt said it is incomprehensible that state law would ban discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, but would condone discrimination against people who change their sex or suffer gender identity disorders. So this poor slob of a doctor is lumped in with people suffering gender identity disorders. Undoubtedly he is, but I didn't know the liberals would call it that. You've got a gender identity disorder. Just give the American Psychological Association a little more time, and they'll make sure we don't refer to these things as disorders any longer. Okay, so this doctor was a medical director, and it says here Carla Enriquez was hired as a medical director. Well, if its name was Carla, that should have given the boss a clue. Hi, Carla. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Carla Enriquez was hired as a medical director of an outpatient learning... What kind of a place is this? It's an outpatient learning and behavior center. What kind of a medical place is that? We're an outpatient learning and behavior center. If you, however you behave, forget it. So our undoubtedly our tax dollars go to fund people going there to work with transvestites to learn and behave. Maybe it's a discipline place. Well, anyway, he was hired in 1995. At that time, he was known legally as Carlos Enriquez and appeared in public as a man. In September, a year later, Enriquez began the external transformation from male to female, according to the judge, by shaving a beard, trimming eyebrows, and wearing earrings. He was fired in 1997, a year later, or sometime later. I don't know if then he started to don a skirt or not. I don't know, but then they finally fired him. Then the Associated Press article says Enriquez legally changed her name in February 1998. Her name? That's in the article. That's by the reporter referring to it as a she. What's up there? Enriquez legally changed her name. Well, Enriquez legally changed his name. Because the woman didn't change her name. The woman came into existence, legal existence, when it got its name changed. So it should say, Enriquez legally changed his name. The woman's been happy with her name ever since. But they like to put that in there. They like to start out saying, a doctor was fired after he started dressing as a woman. He was known legally as Carlos, and Enriquez legally changed her name. So now the Associated Press wants you to know that we are referring to these transvestites with female pronouns. The judge also ruled that Enriquez can possibly collect damages from the medical facility. How's that one? So he's going to get a bonus. At least it'll pay for his wardrobe. Now, and we go from, you know, the bad, the ugly, the perverse, and the worst. These are the worst here. I have two more stories, and this next one is so despicable, it'll make the last one seem, who cares? Well, the last one's a big who cares anyway, so I'll do that next. I'll reorder them. Okay, they're switched. There we go. Okay, this one is just to let you know what's going around, liberals around the country. Cities are handing out free bicycles for people to borrow. This is a liberal idea. And they've tried this in a number of cities, like Charleston, South Carolina, where 22 bikes distributed on Christmas Eve were all gone a week later. They were stolen. And they've done similar things in Gainesville, Florida, Boulder, Colorado, and Spokane, Washington. Apparently in Europe, there are a lot of cities that lend free bikes so people will drive less. So Princeton, they say Princeton's free bike program is a real success because they set it up with 200 bikes and over the last few years, and they say now we have still about half of those bikes are still on the streets. That's not bad. One out of two stolen by your clientele, that's not bad. I bet you Hertz and Avis would consider that a pretty good record if only half of their cars were stolen. And here's the stupid thing. Imagine what it costs them to administer this program. It's got to cost a fortune. People's taxes are increased. People have to work extra long, probably drive extra trips back and forth to work just to pay the extra taxes for this kind of stupidity. And how many bicycles are in the vicinity of Princeton, New Jersey? What would you guess? I don't know, but I would guess 50,000? Something like that. 50,000 bikes? They're probably spending $50,000 a year, and they added 200 bikes. 100 of them were stolen and probably sold in Hoboken, New Jersey. So, liberals are morons. Liberals are just morons. All right. So, and by the way, they talk about the bikes that are stolen, and the guy who's in charge of the free bike program, he says, "We're not too concerned if theft happens. That's just one more person riding around on a bike, and that's okay with us." Blithering idiots. Okay, and here's the terrible story. Here's the worst. Freehold, New Jersey. You know, I'm not going to go back to New Jersey the next time I'm going. The next time I'm going to New Jersey, I'm going to cancel my trip. It's just too disgusting. This is in Freehold, New Jersey. 7 people tortured a mentally retarded man during a party, and they've just received sentences ranging from 5 to 20 years in prison. Now, the defendants have admitted, they basically pled guilty to this poor guy. They lured him away from his job at a fast food restaurant to a party. His name is Eric, I can't even pronounce his last name. I'm not even going to try. Eric Smith. And they admit it, they shaved his head, they struck him with shower curtain rods, hit him with a toilet brush and a string of beads, and they stripped him forced him to wear women's clothing and made him drink urine while he was taped to a lawn chair. How's all that? Now, what if Christians were running the government and the laws were good? What would have happened in this case? Well, I don't think these losers would have had the guts to do all this to somebody because they're cowards. But anyway, they also burned him with cigarettes, choked and beat him, and they abandoned him in the woods. Do we refer to wooded areas out west as the woods? Is that a common term out here? Back east, it's the woods. Do we call it the woods out here? There's forest. There's mountains, but mountains don't always have woods. What do we call it? Wilderness area, open space, all these liberal rainforest. Oh, we don't have a rainforest in Colorado. You got to go to Washington, the state of Washington, for that. But, yeah, back east we have the woods. And so they abandoned him in the woods. What would we have done? Well, you could get them for all kinds of assault, obviously, sexual crimes, and kidnapping. So just to simplify it all, I would just execute them all. That just simplifies it. Just execute them. The defendants, the convicted criminals now, Jennifer Dowell and Brandon Cruz, these are all 20-somethings. They're all 20 years old, in their 20s. Two of the three people identified as ringleaders in the assault were each sentenced to 20 years in prison. So one was a gal, Jennifer Dowell, and Brandon Cruz got 20 years. A third defendant, Jessica Fry, was sentenced to 15 years. I would have just fried her. And that would have been pretty inexpensive. Yeah, what does it cost to put somebody in jail? About $60,000 a year? So this party, let's see, there's seven defendants. Some of them got 20 years in jail. Figure they'll do 10. This gal, Jessica Fry, got 15. She'll do 7. So that's 27. And these others, they got 5 years. So and there's 4 of them. So that's 10 years. So that's 27 years total. 27 years times $60,000 a year. That's over $1 million. Wow. That's what, $1,002,000, something like that. That's a lot of money. Imagine, see what, how we get punished because our criminal justice system is broken? The victims become victimized again, first by the criminal, then by the criminal justice system. So we got to pay $1 million to punish these idiots. $1 million. We can let them go to Rutgers and do nude wind sprints. We could pay for them to go to Rutgers for the money we're going to spend on them to be in prison. Let the coach at them. All right. Everything's going crazy. Things are absolutely going nuts in our country. Here, a couple quick news stories. You know, usually every news story has a moral, the moral to the story. And that's why we tell them as little moral morality tales, a little vignette that has a moral to it. Well, this story has no moral to it at all. Three men at work were injured by a men at work sign. It's true. In Brookhaven, Pennsylvania. This past Friday, a car struck the sign. It sent it airborne, and the sign landed on the men. They were taken to a hospital for minor injuries. So three men at work were injured by a men at work sign. There's no moral to that story. It's just a nice little story, the kind you'd get from Paul Harvey. So there. All right, but now this story, This is the sign of the time story. This is from Seattle, right? And we have a you could go to a rainforest in Washington State, right? I think that's the only place in the continental U.S. where we have a rainforest. Yeah, and state of Washington. Okay, here we go. This is out of Seattle. This is the sign of the times. A man struck the city's mayor in the face during a community celebration Saturday. That's this Saturday, this past Saturday. Breaking bones under the mayor's right eye. That's wild. Police wrestled the man to the ground and arrested him. Witnesses said he hit Mayor Paul Schell with a megaphone. I was wondering what Paul Schell is doing these days. Now he's the mayor of Seattle. Remember, he's that TV preacher on Channel 53. Back, he was only on the air in Denver. But he was one of these faith healing ministries. And somebody in his church, a woman, her child was taking insulin. And she went to that church, and she believed she had the faith, and she didn't have to give her son insulin anymore, and the boy died. That was at Pastor Paul Schell's church in Denver, Colorado. Anyway, this must be a different Paul Schell. So the assault was during a Unity on Union celebration. And the media says it was unprovoked. And that might be quite a stretch, saying it was unprovoked. I mean, the victim was a mayor of a major U.S. city. I'd say he probably provokes thousands of people every day of his life. So it may have been a crime, but to call it unprovoked, that's quite a leap of faith. That is a major leap of faith. Okay, now, you remember the Menendez brothers, Eric and Lyle Menendez? They said they had to kill their father because of how abusive he was, and they killed their mother just because, well, they were in the mood. Remember that? That was their defense. Their defense by their idiot lawyers was, well, the father, they were afraid of the father, and he was an abusive father, so they killed him. So you should find them not guilty by reason of having a bad father. And so we asked at the time, and why did they kill their mother? Were they afraid of her? No, I don't think so. I don't recall a testimony they were afraid of their mother. Mom and Dad were sitting in the kitchen eating some ice cream. They just come in and blow them away. So they had a lawyer. The lawyer's name was Barry Levin. Do you remember Eric Menendez's lawyer, Barry Levin? Well, before we talk about him, you remember their first trial ended in a mistrial, a hung jury? They had to try him again, and then they got a conviction. And women on the jury wanted to throw a party. Well, they did throw a party, and they invited the Menendez brothers. That's one of the reasons Rush had said years ago, women should not be allowed on a jury where the accused is a stud. And how true that is. And neither should men be allowed on a jury under any circumstance, because justice by committee is a bad idea. Well, at any rate, the lawyer, Barry Levin, Eric Menendez's lawyer, he beat his own client to hell. He beat him to hell. I don't mean he beat him up bad. I mean he arrived in hell before his client. That's what I mean. He beat him to hell. He's in hell right now. He committed suicide. He shot himself in the head at a federal cemetery, a military cemetery. And supposedly he found out that he has some fatal illness. And so he killed himself to escape what? The pain? I don't know. We have pretty good pain management techniques these days. He killed himself because he wanted to spare his family grief. So he shot himself in the head. That'll spare people grief. He killed himself because he wanted to escape. And all he did, it was like a criminal trying to escape, and he escapes right into the jail. Right? The criminal's running away from the scene of the crime, and he hops over a high fence and hops over a wall and slams shut a door, and now he's in jail. That's the fate of all the unbelievers who kill themselves to escape. They escape right into jail. They're in hell awaiting their judgment day, at which time then they'll proceed to the lake of fire, where they get their asbestos water skis. Government issue water skis. All right. The leader of NAH is criticizing George W. Bush. You know NAH, the NAAA, formerly known as NACAP, the NAACP? The NAACP changed the name of the organization because they used to be the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, and since this ain't even the 90s anymore, this is the 2000s, it's no longer politically correct to say colored people. You have to say African Americans. So it's no longer the NAACP, it's now the NAAA. So whenever you think of Jesse Jackson, just say, nah. Whenever you think of welfare, just say, nah. Whenever you think of quotas, just say, nah. Anyway, I've been wanting to use that line on Politically Incorrect one of these days. Anyway, according to the president of the NAAA, Queasy and Fumy, he said, yes, this Saturday, 2 days ago, he said that the Bush administration is failing and they should focus on racial issues such as, and he gives a list here, he says they should focus on ending racial profiling, election reform, and racial disparities in the death penalty, according to NAH President Queasy and Fumy. You know, he's got it all completely wrong. If he wants to point out what's going wrong with the Bush administration on racial issues, he could talk about these three things. But instead of saying you should talk about racial disparities in the death penalty, he should say this. Queasy and Fumy should say President Bush should do something about racial disparities in murder. Because the racial disparities in murder are terrible, because blacks are killing a huge percentage of those who die from murder are being killed by blacks, and they're mostly blacks. Black-on-black murder is a terrible problem. So Queasy and Fumy, instead of saying Bush should do something about racial disparities in the death penalty, he should say the president should do something about blacks killing blacks. We've got to do something about that. And instead of calling for election reform, he should say the president should do something about the black voters envious of others and voting to take away their money. And instead of saying he should end racial profiling, he should say the president should help us reduce the skyrocketing crime in the black community. That's what he should say. All these things are ways for blacks to get away with more crime and steal more money. Same thing that whites do. Same thing that Hispanics do. Only blacks have been more beholden to the government for a longer period of time, and as a result, they're far more immoral as a community than other segments of the population. What are the chances... what are the chances a black child is born out of wedlock? It's somewhere, it's greater than 60%. It's around 70%. Around 7 out of 10 black kids are born without a dad at home. That's just great. Isn't that great? That gives those little kids freedom. Having a dad could be a major pain in the neck. That's true. But I don't think Queasy and Fumi have the answers. All right. Hey, by the way, earlier I mentioned Hoboken, New Jersey. You know, for a while, they thought that the game of baseball was invented in Hoboken. For a long time, they thought it was invented at West Point by a cadet in 1839. And then they started finding more historians would find little bits and pieces of information, and they thought it was in Hoboken. Now they have found two articles referring to baseball, two separate words, baseball, from 1823, that's pretty cool, in New York City, where the first game that we know of was played at near the corner of Broadway and 8th. Broadway and 8th in Manhattan. So baseball, been around for a long time. That's interesting. All right, now, the Sunday Denver Post and Rocky Mountain News. Whatever that means, I don't know. We have two newspapers in Colorado, and I'm holding the Sunday paper now. It says the Sunday Denver Post and Rocky Mountain News. So it's one newspaper. It's not two, it's one. And the main story, the cover story, is headlined, A Joining of the Hearts. It's a wedding. Isn't that nice? It's a wedding of two disabled people. They look like they're maybe 50 years old or so each. And there's flowers everywhere, and he's in a tux. She's in a beautiful white gown with a veil. And she's holding a rose, and I think she's smiling. She's either smiling or she got a very sharp pain in her shoulder all of a sudden. One of the... I'll ask the experts in the audience. Is she smiling or does she have a sharp pain in her shoulder? I think she's smiling. I would say she's smiling. He definitely has a sharp pain.